Space Podcast.
10, 9, we have ignition sequence start. Engines on. 5, 4, 3.
That's us, the two middle-aged dudes in a microphone, the podcast that brings you the best in weird news and strange stories. I'm Aaron.
And I'm Jose.
And no, you're not Jose.
No, I am Jose. No, Craig, no here no more.
I am Craig. Hey, you. Hey, you listening to our podcast. Welcome.
Thank you for joining us. And we've got a couple of reviews I want to read, Craig. I'll take the first one. You take the second one. This first one comes to us from Heart 5. Right here from the USA. Dinner Entertainment is her title. Nice to have some highbrow comedy on iTunes, and the lowbrow doesn't hurt either. That's a good thing because there's a lot of that.
What about your unibrow?
We started listening as an alternative to chewing noises. We have three teenage boys, but it has grown into our daily dinner time routine.
Wow.
Thanks very much, Heart 5.
That's awesome. Yep. Hey, okay, a must listen if you love comedy. This is from Suda41.
Thank you, Suda.
These two guys are amazing. Very great energy and also great comedy as they read the wackiest of news stories. Hey, make a note there. We got to send their check.
Yeah, thank you, Suda41. And please, if you haven't left us a review yet on iTunes, we would really appreciate it. Okay, I'll take top story tonight, Craig.
Top story.
This is a food fight story.
Ooh, we like food fight stories.
We've had a bunch of these lately. Mm-hmm. Headline is, woman assaults mother with cheeseburger. That's a waste of a good cheeseburger.
It really is, actually.
Police are investigating after a woman assaulted her mother with a cheeseburger at an East Side McDonald's.
Did she pepper her too?
This is in Indianapolis, and the police were called to the McDonald's.
The what?
The police were called to the McDonald's.
There's no A in there.
The two women got into a fight after the mom told her daughter she could no longer stay at her home. You're out of here, missus, yeah, okay, said a police officer, Aaron Hammer. Ooh, that's what a name for a cop.
Yeah, really.
Don't get Officer Hammer over here.
Oh, I think it's Hammer.
That's what I said.
There's just one M.
Hammer.
Oh, Hammer.
The mom drove her daughter to someone else's house, but on the way, the daughter changed her mind about where she wanted to go. So this 60-year-old mother told officers that her daughter, who was 39 years old.
No, old enough to know better.
Plenty old enough to be out of the house, too.
Yep.
Started yelling at her, so she stopped at the McDonald's drive-thru. She's going to get her a Happy Meal to kind of tie her
over. To make her happy.
Yeah. The daughter was...
I want to return this. It didn't make her happy.
The daughter was screaming and yelling as they drove. After stopping in the parking lot so other passengers in the car could use the bathroom, there's a whole lot going on
there's
in this car.
There's a lot going.
How many people are in this?
And were there enough people in the car that could have stopped this?
Really? The mother told police her daughter said she wished her mom would die.
Okay, at that point, you don't get a hamburger.
No, you don't get the toy, especially.
Nope.
You do have to eat the burger. While her daughter was seated in the front passenger seat, she took a bite out of her cheeseburger. The victim stated her daughter yelled a bad word and said, I ought to kill you. And then she hit her in the left side of the face with her hand and the cheeseburger.
Okay.
She didn't drop
the
burger.
Stop for 1 second.
Okay.
Here at Two Middle-Aged Dudes, we're not going to condone things like violence.
No.
In this case, she should have beaten the holy crap out of this girl.
Even though the girl's 40, almost 40 years
39
old.
39 years old. She should have gotten a beat down right
this
in front
is ridiculous.
Of everybody. Just a beat down.
The mom told police she had pain in the left side of her face and a little mustard in her eye.
Oh, come on. I don't think a hamburger is going to cause pain.
The officer said she had ketchup and mustard down the front of her shirt. Pickles, ketchup, mustard were splattered across the interior. They put too many condiments on this burger, obviously.
How could her face be red and swollen? It was not a hamburger.
Maybe it said the woman.
It was a frozen hamburger.
The woman hit her with her fist and the burger.
Oh, okay.
So she slugged her, but she didn't take the burger out.
She was fist-a-burgered.
The daughter got into another driver's vehicle and fled the scene.
This reminds me of in the courtroom. You've seen the video where the person walks by and just kind of lightly smacks the person with the paper. And the person falls on the floor, rolls around like they've been really just assaulted. Really.
It happens in basketball games all the time, too.
Hey.
Yeah.
Meet Jess Tom.
Okay.
Who says, biscuit. 900 times an hour, It's fantastically strange.
When people meet me, Biscuit, for the first time, cats, Biscuit, lots of them don't know how to react. Biscuit, often they're suppressed. Biscuit, laugh for fear of offending.
I wish we had her phone number.
But the thing is, my condition can be pretty funny.
That thump you're hearing? That's her hitting herself in the chest.
It's not amusing in itself, Biscuit, but my tics are often surreal and funny. Biscuit, in a way, the conscious part of me can only dream of.
I love
pebble
Jess.
Dash or pickled onion, cheese. So why is it that some people are so reluctant to laugh at them? Biscuit. I think it shows that many of us
listen,
don't
she's
know
got a great
how to
sense
interact
of humor. Yeah.
With people who are different from ourselves. Ducks! Last year, research by Scope found that 2/3 of the British population...
What's the popping?
That's her hitting herself in the chest.
Oh, ...uncomfortable yeah. talking to disabled people. And at the same time,
that hurts,
recorded instances
she's
of hate
really
crime
thumping.
Against
she's Celine Dion.
have increased by a staggering 41%.
Sometimes she says,
I have a feeling Biscuit's going to be visiting the show
how
a lot.
How on earth did we all get so uncomfortable?
Wait till you hear her say
Biscuit.
Hedgehog.
I work with children and young people, and they're nowhere near as embarrassed as the adults I encounter. Biscuit. Children are curious, ready
like
to laugh,
putting a Q
and ask
in there.
Questions.
Biscuit. Biscuit.
What they ask most
well, it's that,
often
it's that
after
accent of
how
hers.
You sleep
it's a beautiful accent.
And what's your favorite biscuit?
And she's talking about cookies, not biscuits like we
right,
like.
Correct.
Importantly, they listen to the
I just
answers.
Hit myself.
And that's something we can all learn from. Biscuit. The fear of crossing the line and causing offense. Okay. Puts adults
we have,
so
we have more audio from
know.
Her than
biscuit.
I'm going to play
okay,
after
so why don't I go ahead?
Go ahead.
And I'll go ahead and just kind of hit the high points here. Jess, like 300,000 other people in Britain, have has Tourette's syndrome.
That's a lot of Tourette's.
It's a widely misunderstood. Huh?
That's a lot of 300,000 people.
That's a lot of cussing
in Britain.
Tourette's syndrome is widely misunderstood. Is a widely. Hey, I got it now. Biscuit. Tourette's syndrome is a widely misunderstood neurological condition which causes those who have it to shout out, make strange noises, and move their bodies uncontrollably. Sounds a lot like my co-host. Jess began experiencing tics, biscuit, overwhelming impulses such as repeated blinking or throat clearing as
Hedgehog.
A child. However, these increased into her 20s. I punch my chest hundreds of times a day and use a wheelchair as the tics make my walking very chaotic. The condition, biscuit, also known as, causes her to blurt out inappropriate but not necessarily offensive words or phrases. I randomly say words like biscuit, cat, and hedgehog, but it's a complete mystery as to why. When people think of Tourette's, they think about swearing, but that only affects 10% of people with it.
I didn't know that.
I am one of them, though. Jess was diagnosed with Tourette's at the age of 26. Biscuit hedgehog. It wasn't scary when I was diagnosed. Cat. I probably known for a long time that I had Tourette's. Jess says the biggest thing she has learned is having the confidence to talk biscuit about her condition. It never gets old either, does it?
It doesn't. And the thing is, we're not making fun of her. She has...
She's already laughing about
she
it.
She has a great sense of humor, and it is funny. It's a funny disability, if that is such a thing.
Well, let me just get to the last thing. Humor is a great way of encouraging people to think differently about something. It's really powerful to share a joke with someone. But she warns there's a big difference if you're laughing at someone
exactly.
or with them.
Or laughing with her.
Yes. I know the difference. It's important not to be scared of humor.
Okay, listen to this little thing she put together.
There are 2.5 million people in the UK with different voices. Biscuit, hedgehog, biscuit. But they're rarely heard on TV. Biscuit, who else but Channel 4 would let someone with Tourette's, biscuit, announce their biggest shows? Hedgehog, right now, Heston's Great British Food. Biscuit. Hedgehog.
Hedgehog.
See, she's awesome. I love her to death. Okay, Craig.
Well, so I want to look while you're talking, while you're, biscuit, is... I want to see Hedgehog. I want to see what she looked like so I could kind of incorporate that into us talking about it, but I can't seem to find a picture of what she looks like. Oh, yeah. There she is. Biscuit.
Yeah. Hedgehog.
Hedgehog Biscuit. Oh, she seems nice.
She does seem, and she is very nice. You could just tell by
Biscuit.
There's a lot of video of her out there too. I just got two, I downloaded just two sections. Yeah. She's really funny. She's got a great sense
And I think
of
the difference real quick. I think the difference is that, you know, she's talking about the difference between laughing at someone would be over there going, hey, Tourette's,
right.
biscuit,
we're not
biscuit,
making
cat.
Fun.
No, we're laughing and putting it into our, incorporating it. It's funny. And we wouldn't do it if we didn't, she wasn't clear that she's already okay with. You
know. Yeah. And I actually tried to locate her phone number.
You're married.
I had no luck there.
You can't find her on Tinder.
No.
You're looking in the wrong place.
Okay. Headline is UK schoolboy corrects NASA data error.
Are you about done with these smarty pants Brits?
The British
with
teenager.
Their biscuits, their cats, and their hedgehogs. And their schoolboys that correct NASA error.
A British teenager has contacted scientists at NASA to point out an error in a set of their own data. A-level student Miles Solomon found that radiation sensors on the International Space Station were recording false data.
They were lying to us the whole time?
Yes. NASA has a bad habit of that. The 17-year-old Tapton School in Sheffield said it was pretty cool to email the space agency.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Well, anybody can email the space agency.
Pretty cool. It's really not that impressive.
No, it's not. The correction is said to be appreciated by NASA, which invited him to help analyze the problem.
Yeah, you think you know so much about it. Why don't you just fix it?
He said, hey
when, you
that's
get,
nice.
When you get a rocket into orbit, you come and see us, okay?
Just for fun. This is all for fun. Why don't you come analyze the rest of our stuff?
Yeah, right. For free.
And this is 2017, Craig. We have a 17-year-old UK.
I know what year it is.
We have a 17-year-old UK schoolboy correcting some NASA data. This is exactly why they filmed the moon landing in advance.
Okay. Right.
You see my point?
When we have a 17-year-old kid from Britain come back and prove that was faked, that they filmed it.
That's already been proven.
No, it's not.
We've discussed
this.
You're
not reading the... Oh, so in other words, you've jettisoned...
Yeah,
that's... Use a space term here.
To the next story.
We've got an update. It's a sad update.
This update theme makes me sleepy.
I know.
It's two middle-aged dudes update.
Good luck coins prove fatal.
Aww.
For Thai piggy bank turtle.
Poor little pig.
In Bangkok.
Wait, it was a bank. It was a turtle.
It was a piggy bank turtle. What?
So sad.
Bangkok, a 25-year-old Thai sea turtle died from blood poisoning on Tuesday, never recovering from an operation to remove 915 coins from her stomach.
That's
thrown
so
into
sad.
Her pool for good luck.
We just had
the
this story.
Irony.
Yeah. We just had this story, what?
We did.
A couple episodes
really
ago.
Really, all we need to say is there was a turtle named, they called Piggy Bank.
Yes.
Went under a 7-hour-long operation to remove 11 pounds of coins she had mistaken for food. This is really tragic.
It really is. And we reported at that point. We said the turtle.
But she died from blood poisoning, and it just didn't. Anyway, we just wanted to let you know, if you got to throw your money, throw it at us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're good luck.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, more NASA.
Oh, no. You did this on purpose.
Headline is, so, NASA got sick of all that conspiracy thing and released over 10,000 photos from the Apollo moon mission.
You happy now?
I'm not. Because, Craig, I looked at these photos. Not one of them is proof of anything.
Oh.
Except that somebody had a camera and took some pictures. Could have been in the desert. Could have been on the moon.
Could have been a squirrel.
We don't know. And another thing is, I've never said that NASA did not go, that we didn't land on the moon. That's not my thing.
I get that. But it's just nonsense to say they filmed it.
No, they did film it. They filmed it here.
Here?
Yeah.
At the Leadberry Studios.
They didn't film it at the Leadberry Studios. They filmed it in the desert.
That explains that moon rock over
and
the
corner. And that's all been proven. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's a lot wrong with it. No, the technology at the time, they were concerned about it. Getting on the moon and not having this.
You really believe this?
I really do.
That's
historic.
Scary.
Film.
Would you read the story?
Do we really land on the moon? Yes, we did. How do we know the moon landing wasn't faked? We don't. We know quite the opposite. What is the evidence that we actually went to the moon? Okay, now see, this is what they're trying to prove. I guess there's a group of people saying we didn't even go to the moon. Have you heard that?
You'll be in that camp soon.
No, I will not. I believe we went to the moon.
I don't know.
My grandfather didn't. What do you know about the first moon landing? That the Apollo 11 commander Neil Armstrong became the first man to walk on the moon on July 20th, 1969? Or that the U.S. government, desperate to beat the Russians,
that's the most believable part of the conspiracy.
They wanted to beat
the Russians because we were falling behind.
So they filmed the lunar landings in a studio located either in Hollywood Hills.
We were way behind. We were looking to make a deal.
Either in the Hollywood Hills or in Area 51.
The Hills.
Since the only evidence about the giant leap for mankind comes from NASA, the American Space Agency, you will more than occasionally hear questions like, did we really land on the moon? How do we know the moon landing wasn't faked? And what is the evidence that we actually went to the moon? If we really went to the moon, how come we never went back, Craig?
How come we never came back?
There are conspiracy theories like, if there's no atmosphere on the moon, how can there be a breeze to blow the U.S. flag?
Though scientifically, they've explained that.
Yes. If there's no atmosphere on the moon, where are the stars and all the photos,
Craig? That had to do with the technology, the cameras they used.
If the moon has only one major light source, how could the Apollo landing photos show light reflections,
Craig? These are all explained scientifically.
I agree, and I have no issue with these because...
Well, but you should, because you're the one who said this was in a soundstage somewhere.
No, that was the video footage that they filmed in advance. See, none of these pictures, they don't show anything about the conspiracy, whatever. I believe. But that's all I got.
No, you ain't got much.
you don't know what you got.
I added to it that time.
That's okay. The more the merrier.
Comedian Nicole Byer claims she found poo inside an airline blanket she was given on a plane.
Gross.
If you've ever snuggled under a blanket on a plane, this story is about to gross you out.
It already has.
Passenger Nicole Byers claims she opened her Delta Airlines blanket on a recent flight and found poo inside.
No, found a poo inside.
A poo. Hi. Well, Delta's ready when you are.
Yeah.
You've got to poop, and they're ready. They can do what they got. They can do what they get. The airline is now investigating the incident after the American comedian tweeted a picture of the, there we go again, the fuckus.
It's a fecal surprise.
She allegedly found. Why don't we have a hot button for fecal surprise?
We're going to get one.
She wrote, "Dear Delta, the grossest thing happened on my flight. I opened my blanket, and there was literally a piece of poop."
How does this happen?
As if that wasn't bad enough, she claimed the offending blanket came out of a plastic wrapper, which suggested the item had been folded and returned to the bag, even though it clearly hadn't been cleaned.
Yes.
Nicole tweeted, "I mean, what a gross customer to poop in a blanket." But truly, how did an employee just fold it up and put it in a bag?
That's the question.
She explained the poor quality of the photo, saying, "I would have taken a better picture of the crusty poop.
Gross.
But it was crusty poop, and I didn't care to get close to it again."
No, I wouldn't either.
Delta initially responded to someone else's tweet, saying, "Appreciate you calling it to our attention. Please reach out to the FA on board.
Flight attendant
for assistance." But Nicole replied, "Are you kidding? Of course I told my flight attendant. I'm emotionally scarred, and this is all you ask? There was poop in my blanket." She added, "I guess now I'll be cold on all my flights because I can never use a blanket again."
Nope.
"Because a literal piece of poop was in my last blanket."
Yeah, if this is true, if this really happened, I would never use a blanket on a plane again, period.
Or at least you want to flip, kind of like flip it out, unfold it towards somebody
Shake
else.
Shake it real good.
Towards somebody else. She later said a flight attendant confirmed there was indeed poop in a blanket.
Oh,
blanket.
So it's confirmed now.
Uh-huh. Not everyone believed the entertainer, with one tweet calling her a liar.
Well, that wasn't nice.
In a statement released shortly afterwards, Delta Airlines spokesman Brian Cruz said the airline was taking the complaint very seriously, but it could not say if Byers' claim had been verified.
Well,
substitute teacher who threw up in class had box of wine in her purse.
That's terrible. I shouldn't be laughing.
I'm listening. This happens in South Carolina. A substitute teacher. Oh, it makes sense now. Substitute teacher. At a South Carolina high school, was arrested after allegedly being so drunk she threw up on the classroom floor.
Good grief, man.
According to local news, an incident report from the Lexington County Sheriff's Department claims Judith Elizabeth Richards Garty, well, she's drinking because she can't cope with all those names, had an open box of wine in her purse, and that students had observed her drinking the wine during class.
Man, she's in the wrong profession.
Okay, guys. What year is the world flat?
Yeah. Excuse me a second. I got to climb under my desk.
Okay, somebody tell me about...
What class is this?
Somebody tell me about the Cold War. Richards Garty was allegedly unable to stand when a school administrator arrived to the classroom, so a wheelchair was brought.
She was that inebriated where she had to get in a wheelchair?
Yep, wheelchair was brought in to take her to the nurse's office before she was transported to an area hospital.
Good grief.
The Lexington School District released a statement on the incident Monday morning.
She released a cork long before that.
No, it was a box.
On Friday, March 10th, 2017, it was reported to the administration of the Brooklyn Case School that a substitute teacher was behaving erratically and appeared to be under the influence of alcohol.
Really?
This substitute is not an employee of the district, but works for Kelly Services.
Kelly
contracts with the district to provide substitute teachers.
It's all Kelly's fault.
It is. Well, isn't that an Irish name?
I don't know. Yeah, it is.
So drinking.
Hey, it all Kelly. Makes sense.
The administration responded immediately, removing the substitute from the classroom and sending her to the school resource officer, where she was dispatched immediately.
Oh, gosh.
No.
They
really.
Killed her.
The district has been advised that law enforcement has filed criminal charges against the Kelly employee. Richard Garty faces a disorderly conduct charge.
How about that? So this teacher didn't want to go to that class. That must have been a rowdy class if it forced her to take a box of wine and get so drunk.
She
couldn't walk out of the school.
I think taking the job as a substitute probably makes you want to drink.
Headline is, naked man stuck in shaft at Togo's Sandwiches in Napa.
I was going to call it Togo's.
Well, I think it's Togo's.
I think it's Togo's.
This comes to us from Napa. A naked man was rescued from a shaft at Togo's Sandwich Shops in Napa Tuesday morning. A man told a reporter that his coworker heard someone yelling for help. Help, I'm freezing. A man knocked on the Togo's door and told a woman who was working there that someone is calling for help. It's unclear how he became stuck, but it said that he was looking for a wishing well. Maybe he was looking for the turtle.
He might have been.
Throw some money at it. Crews were able to pull the man free of the shaft by 9 a.m.
Too soon.
And he will be taken to a local hospital. And I only bring this up because we have a lot of naked men stuck in restaurant apparatuses or walls on the show. Yeah,
they
remember
fell,
that?
The apartment, they fell between the walls.
Yeah, a lot of naked people.
Hey, you want some scientific solid sound advice right now?
Yeah, I do.
I said advice.
Yeah.
I don't know what I just
I'll
said.
Take your advice.
Okay. 5 second rule. You need to drop the food. You got five seconds.
I've lived by that my whole life.
I thought it was a 10 second rule.
No, that's terrible.
Okay.
Dirty.
Well, obviously. 5 second rule for food dropped on the floor. Approved by germ scientists.
Yes.
Well, of course, the germ scientists in the world of germs, they have scientists.
It's all safe.
In the world of germs, they all have little bitty scientists.
Yes,
and
those
are these aren't our scientists. These are their scientists. Expert professor. Well, I hope he's an expert.
He's a professor.
Anthony Hilton says morsels swiftly retrieved from the ground are safe to eat. What if they fall in some fucus?
Well, then you do not want. There's no 5 second rule.
Food that has been dropped on the floor is usually safe to eat under the so-called 5 second rule.
That comes to us from a scientist, Craig.
Science.
It's safe.
Germ expert Professor Anthony Hilton from Aston University said that although retrieving these morsels can never be completely without risk, there is little to be concerned about if the food is only there momentarily.
See?
Professor Hilton will be demonstrating how the 5 second rule works at the Big Bang Fair, a celebration of science, technology, engineering, and maths.
I want to go.
Young people, which opens on Wednesday at the NEC in Birmingham.
I want to go. I wonder if this is Birmingham, Alabama, or Birmingham, England.
We're not that lucky. He said eating food that has spent a few moments on the floor can never be entirely risk-free. Obviously, food covered in visible dirt shouldn't be eaten, but as long as it's not obviously contaminated, the science shows that food is unlikely to have picked up harmful bacteria from a few seconds spent on the indoor floor. What if you fell into a Petri dish? What if I drop my chicken nugget into a Petri
dish?
Do
not eat that.
He said 5 seconds, it's okay.
No, don't.
He's a professor and he's an expert. That is not to say that germs can't transfer from the floor to the food. Our research has shown that the nature of the floor surface, the type of food dropped on the floor, and the length of time it spends on the floor can all have an impact on the number that can transfer.
Yeah.
It comes as a survey of 2,000 people found 79% admitted to eating food that had fallen on the floor. Paul Jackson, Chief Executive, Engineering UK, organizers of the Big Bang Fair said, this is a simple example of how science is present in everyday life. From testing how safe food is to inventing new food and drink, the limits of how we can apply science and engineering. That's a commercial.
He's
just trying to make a commercial for this.
Where do you stand on the 5 second rule? I've done it at the office. I'll drop a Boston baked bean or a cookie or something.
I'm visualizing being at home where
You've seen me pick something up and eat it.
I don't know. My thing is, how bad do I want it?
Yeah. Yeah. What is it?
What is it? How bad do I want it?
You know, if I drop
Could I rinse it off is another question.
Well, if somebody gave me something I didn't like and I dropped it, no way.
Okay, let's say I drop a cupcake with icing
on
it.
Yes.
Okay, and it lands icing down on the ground.
It will, because that always happens.
Yeah, I ain't picking that up and eating it. You know why? Everything sticks in that icing.
I just kind of scrape a little off. So it's okay, just sprinkled.
I can always go get another one.
You like a good mystery?
No.
I do.
Okay.
Headline is,
this involves steak sauce?
The steak sauce bottle mystery unfolding at an Ohio library.
Oh my gosh, call the media.
Got your attention already, don't I?
Yeah, I did.
A local paper referred to it as a real whodunit, Craig.
Whodunit?
Small town newspaper photography can be a thankless task. A never-ending parade of firefighter photo ops, the occasional crime scene, and yes, parades. But Bruce Bishop, the photo chief at Elray's Ohio's Chronicle-Telegram, brought his A-game when tasked with providing art for a story on what the paper says is a real whodunit, the mysterious placement of steak sauce bottles throughout the Avon Lake Public Library. Bishop could have taken the photo anywhere in the library. Only a pro chooses to stage it with the library's mystery section showing in the background. But a great story calls for great art, and the Chronicle-Telegram was on a great story. Someone, the paper reported Friday, has been hiding A1 steak sauce bottles on the shelves since January. They've got all this steak sauce now that they're collecting.
I want to go to that library.
This is somebody that works for A1, and this is a beautiful piece of guerrilla marketing is what this is.
And there were no gorillas involved.
28 of the bottles have appeared. 28 bottles of steak sauce. That's you know, $50 worth right there.
Right.
Providing the library staff with a small collection and an endearing riddle. No culprit has been found despite the efforts of the library staff. What are they going to do if they find him? Is there something? Is that illegal to leave a bottle of steak sauce?
I mean, I was just
in the books. No patterns.
I thought somebody might want to check it out. Library humor.
I love it. So the A1 bottles have been popping up, and no culprit's been found yet, despite the efforts of the library staff, who told the Chronicle Telegram they even drew up a map, like detectives hunting a serial killer to see if the patterns emerge. But no patterns did emerge. On Tuesday, a library spokesman told Atlas Obscura that two more bottles have been found since this story. So now they're up to like 30 bottles, Craig. That's a lot of money.
So someone's just throwing bottles around the library.
Somebody walks in the library and leaves a bottle of steak.
That guy walks into a library.
It's this guy. You may recognize our poop theme.
Headline, I don't think it needs to be explained anymore.
Headline is, poop scooper faces Fed sentencing for using fake IDs and badges. This comes to us from Pittsburgh and from the AP. A Pennsylvania man whose company Scoops Up Poop is facing sentencing before a federal judge for buying fake Secret Service identification cards and badges online from China to impress the women on a dating site.
He bought fake Secret Service.
Yeah, he thought that'd be very impressive. He's like, hey, look at me. I'm not only a poop scooper, I'm a Secret Service.
What's a poop scooper?
It's people that walk around picking up poop from dogs.
Scooping up poop?
Yeah, in Pennsylvania.
Scoop the poop. Biscuit.
Christopher DiOrio pleaded guilty in November to a count of fraudulently using an official seal.
Hedgehog.
He acknowledged the other behavior allegedly by federal prosecutors, including flashing an ID card during a traffic stop. That's where you're getting in trouble right there.
Yep, there you go.
And trying to use a Secret Service badge to get a government rate for a hotel room. So he's also trying to use it to get discounts. The 54-year-old Greensburg man remains free on bond and likely faces probation under federal guidelines.
Biscuit. Hey.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, you know what?
What?
It's the Chaz Flaccus Top 10.
Oh, he paid his bill.
We haven't been calling it that for a while. You know why?
Because he hadn't paid his bill.
He hadn't paid his bill.
That's right.
Ready?
I'm ready.
10 lesser known facts about Robin Williams.
Okay.
Number 10.
Yes.
He had to be censored in 4 languages.
What does that mean?
Does
that mean he could speak 4 languages?
No, I think they had to... I don't know.
I couldn't figure that one out.
I don't know. I started to say whenever they aired any of his stuff in different countries, but that doesn't make sense.
Number 9. He spun Mork. You remember Mork from Mork. He spun Mork off from a bit part into its own show, and it only took him 4 days to come up with that.
Yeah,
you remember
it was Happy Days.
It was on Happy Days, which was, by that time, it had already jumped the shark.
It jumped the shark, really. which is actually where the term
it
came
is.
From.
But he, anyway, and 4 days later, he had the idea for Mork from Mork.
Number 8. He helped Superman recover from the worst injury of his life. That would be Christopher Reeve.
They were best
friends.
They
were friends from film school or from
drama or something.
Drama school, whatever, yeah.
Number 7. He did not want to be in Aladdin.
But we're glad he did.
I am glad he did, yep.
I mean, it was the Robin Williams show, but he made that character.
Yep.
Number 6. There was a clause in his will preventing people from using his likeness.
Didn't know about that. Number 5.
What is that? I guess anywhere.
Yeah, I guess. Number 5, Robin graduated from Redwood High School, which is just north of San Francisco. He was voted least likely to succeed in high school.
Number 4, he replaced his cocaine addiction with bicycles.
Yeah.
How he snorted those up his nose, we will never know.
I actually saw some video footage of him on his bike, and he went nuts. He went nuts on his bicycle, but he would do all these races, and everybody that was in the race with him said he was just the greatest guy. He would
supposed
pull up,
nice guy, yeah.
Just normal, down-to-earth biker. Number 3, he was an internet hipster. He complained about not having broadband.
Oh, that's funny, because...
He's Robin Williams. Get broadband, man.
Well, what's he complained about not having broadband? Why would that make him a hipster, though?
I don't know.
He would talk about how he had faster internet than you could understand.
Yes.
If he was a hipster. Number 2, and that doesn't make sense, because number 2, trash talk kids in Call of Duty.
Yep.
He was a big video game fan.
Yes, he was.
And
he'd get on there.
Zelda, his daughter Zelda was named because of the game.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. And so to say he didn't have the connection, but he was on there trash talking, that doesn't make sense. But okay, whatever.
Yeah. Number one, and this is, have you seen Jumanji? You ever seen the movie Jumanji?
I love.
That's a great movie. Jumanji. Well, there's an alligator scene in that, which involves a real live alligator, and he really elbow dropped it in the movie.
I got to go back and watch that.
Yeah.
I love that movie. I love the kind of partner movie with that, Zathura, which is another game. I love those movies. And they're going to do a, I thought it was a reboot, but it's not a reboot. I think it's just a, it's a like a sequel to Jumanji or something.
I didn't know
With The Rock.
Oh, well, that'd be good.
I think so.
I hope. As long as they don't really mess.
I don't want them to remake it, though.
As long as they don't mess with the memories. All right, Craig, that about wraps us up for another episode.
I guess we're done.
We'll see y'all next episode.
Thank you for listening to Two Middle-Aged Dudes in a Microphone. If you enjoyed this episode, please take time to rate and review it on your favorite podcast app. This is the best way you can support our show. Visit our website for show notes, downloads, or leave us a comment. Our new web address is weirdnewspodcast.com. Find us on Facebook at Middle-Aged Dudes and on Twitter at the number 2, M-A-D-A-A-M. Or you can send us a voicemail at 629-888-2896. Or you can simply click the button on our website or Facebook page. Just be sure to have your mic ready when you click the button. Send us an email at middleagedudes@gmail.com. New episodes of Two Middle-Aged Dudes in a Microphone are available every Monday and every Friday. Please subscribe so you don't miss any of the weirdness.